Hello and welcome to our before and after for Star Trek Insurrection. The third of the TNG crew Star Trek movies, second to last, and the last one that I know absolutely nothing about.
Yes, from this point forward, you have a vague recollection
of Nemesis.
Yeah. So, let's talk bad guys.
Yes. So I was wondering this before we, while I was watching, the last of season seven, I was thinking, I thought there was three TNG movies. No, there's four. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was like, okay, well, there's going to be a Borg movie. I know Nemesis is Romulans and the weird Picard clone thing.
Yep.
And I know Generations, is the crossover one. So I'm not sure who the bad guy is in that, but something like, if there's a fourth one, who the hell's the bad guy? You know, is it, it can't be the Klingons. We're at decent term. We're on, you know, the Federation's on good terms with the Klingons.
Yeah.
Unless we start a war and end it in the one movie, which is dumb.
Well, you could have like, oh shit, we should do the Star Trek, the interactive board game at some point.
Yeah, we've been talking.
Yeah, we need to do that. But unless you pull something like that and it's like a rogue Klingon.
Yeah.
I guess we got that with Generations.
Yeah.
So.
I have no idea. We did a little talk and you said that it's not the Klingon. It's not Romulan. It's not.
No, you want me to tell you?
No, but.
You would have learned this from trailers anyway.
I know, but I still want to go in.
Okay, totally blind.
But you said it's a new enemy.
It's never been in another anything else.
And so is that new enemy meaning a new alien race enemy?
Yes, we've never seen them.
Cool, new aliens, great. So we're going to fight some new alien dudes.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the alien dudes are from like the most like unreachable. Like they're from so far away that we've never been introduced to him.
These are good predictions.
Let's see.
We've got bad guys. Let's talk plots. A plot.
I mean, bad guys come in.
Yep. They snatching your families up.
I don't know about that. I would like, let me think. The way I'm imagining it is like, you know, their ships are cool, mean looking. They come floating in. They beam down to some planet and be like, who is your leader?
Who is your daddy? And what does he do?
Here, I'm the leader. Yeah.
You work for us now.
Yep. It's like, no, we're part of the we don't know who you guys are, but we're part of the Federation, which is like sort of like a group of a boom. I will find this Federation and I will destroy it.
Like, so this is like, when Zod comes down to Earth in Superman 2.
Yeah. We're fighting Zod. I hope Data can construct a Phantom Zone
to throw them into.
Yeah.
B plots. Who's going to get it?
Let's see. Let's go with Geordi. We haven't had a... Geordi got kidnapped in the first one.
Yeah.
And he just got to fanboy in the second one.
Yeah.
Let's give him something to do in this one.
Give him something to do. Yeah. Maybe he can read a book to some kids.
That'd be great. Let him grow his beard, man.
So we've still got the Enterprise E.
Yes, the new Enterprise.
It was not self-destruct in the last film. And we've got Worf is still on Deep Space Nine.
Okay. We're going to find some way to bring him back.
Yeah. Like a telephone call or something.
Yep.
Defiance gets destroyed again.
We were passing by Deep Space Nine and Lieutenant Commander Worf decided to visit us, and then we got an urgent distress call.
Who do you think? Do we have any cameos? We had some cameos last time.
We did have some cameos. From Voyager. They were from Voyager. I'm going to say we definitely have a non-Star Trek cameo.
Okay.
Sort of the Bob situation from last time.
Yeah.
Maybe so what year would this have been? Insurrection? Like 98? 99? Because Nemesis was 02, right? Or 01? 02.
I think it was like 02.
02, 03 maybe? 98.
Yeah.
So at this point...
And Nemesis was 2002.
Yeah.
So First Contact was 96.
Yeah. Sure looked like a movie from 1996. In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have any cameos. I assume so. Maybe we'll have a cameo. Well, no. I'm going to say no cameos. No Star Trek cameos. Though, I mean, it seems to be they can't help themselves, really.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. Maybe an old admiral or something.
Admiral.
Maybe Nechayev.
Maybe Nechayev could come back.
Yeah.
Who was the Asian guy that was an admiral? Nakamura?
Nakamura, yeah.
And what other fun things could we have you predict? Who's getting fucked in this movie?
Oh, the Borg Queen again?
She's going to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You think Data nailed her?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So. 1,000%. He is fully functional.
Do you think all the drones just like stood around and watched?
Yeah.
And then she can log, you know, into their minds.
Uh-huh. Make so them feel like the watching, same pleasure.
No, she's watching herself get fucked by Data.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's he's like, funny.
I'm so glad you gave me skin.
He's got crotch skin. Yep. The really freaky thing about Data's transformation, we should have discussed this last time. Yeah. The really freaky thing about his transformation is that the skin they're using on him is from his other fellow crewmates.
Yeah.
Like he's got Lieutenant Schwartz's face stapled on.
Yeah.
At the end. Is Data's face going to be fixed?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes, but how, right? I mean, I guess
Maddox. He's been learning about Data. He can figure it out.
Yeah.
Fucking figure it out.
A very young Allison Pill.
Oh, is that who the chick was in the news Picard series? Yeah. We call her up. New uniforms?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we're going to stick with these uniforms, which I like, by the way.
I do like him too. And he's going to die.
A bunch of bad guys. Maybe an admiral or two.
Yeah.
But unless we're introducing some characters in the Zefram Cochrane Alfred Woodard zone where they're not enemies, but also not the main crew.
Yeah.
Unless we're introducing anyone like that, like maybe someone's dad or someone's parents or something, you know?
Yeah.
Does Loxana come back in this and then get it vaporized?
God, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Great.
Not even plot related. She just is on the ship and then like there's a hull breach and she just gets blown out in space.
I mean, technically she's always on the ship, but
that is technically true.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready?
Yeah. Well, I think, let's do it. We'll catch you guys in a little bit for the after part. Star Trek. Insurrection.
There is a world where time as we know it stands still. Where every moment is a universe in itself. But what if the existence of this world and its secret to eternal youth was threatened? What if those entrusted to protect it?
In 6 hours, every living thing in this system will be dead or dying.
Who would destroy it?
Who the hell are we to determine the next course of evolution for this people? I'm acting on orders from the Federation Council.
And the only hope for its survival...
If a court-martial is the only way to tell the Federation what is happening here, I welcome it, Admiral.
...is for one captain and his crew to commit an act of treason.
Lock and load.
Send down an assault team and take them by force.
Let's move these people out!
The Federation ship has been disabled.
Eliminate them.
Captain...
Star Trek Insurrection.
Well, we just finished Star Trek Insurrection. Ends your action.
And no erections on this end.
I think Picard definitely had a stiffy there.
Oh yeah. Picard had a real stiffy for that lady.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this is not as good as First Contact, but I still liked it more than Generations.
So you're saying it's First Contact, this Insurrection, and then Generations?
Yeah. The movie kind of fell apart in the end.
Yeah.
Cause there's nowhere else for it to go.
Yeah.
The setup for this movie is great. I really enjoyed the whole mystery.
Yeah.
It's a real good mystery because you start off with everyone on the... No, you start off with... we're watching a bunch of... I'm like, are they ancient humans? Are they aliens? Turns out they're aliens because we can see them being sort of like...
They're going to be watching the duck blind?
Yeah, by Starfleet like we've seen before. And then, like, there's like red dude in red suits walking around. The aliens can't see, but we can. You know, they're studying. And all of a sudden, there's a chase scene, and turns out it's Data, and Data's beating up the rest of these Starfleet scientists for some reason. He's on the run. And then we cut to the Enterprise. They're doing some ambassador stuff.
Eugene Chafal.
Yeah. Worf is on board. They tell him about what happened to Data. They go to investigate. And the Admiral is being a little...
Cagey.
We see the bad guys. Great ships. Great bad guy ships. Pointy. Evil looking.
Yeah. I was just struck at how similar these two... covers look. Insurrection and First Contact.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's the same order and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So the thing I don't like about this movie is that it's basically just the First Duty again.
The First Duty?
Journey's End.
Journey's End.
We're going to relocate these people because of things that are going on in the Federation.
Yeah.
You can't do that, except this time instead of it being Wesley Crusher saying it, it's Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. Similar, yeah, I agree. That's similar.
It's also just it brings back the evil admiral trope of TNG, where it'd be like,
yeah,
oh, this is Admiral, what's his name? He's a real a-hole. Oh, it turns out he's evil.
Yeah,
we must destroy him. But it's a fine.
I liked
movie.
I liked it. It felt like an episode of TNG. You know, a drawn-out episode of TNG.
A drawn-out episode is the right phraseology, because it does feel drawn out.
I would have liked them to explore the youngifying effect, the de-aging, a little more.
Yeah.
You know? Like, maybe push that a little further, because Geordi ends up getting his eyes back.
Yep.
Which, is that... I'm going to ask, is that a permanent thing?
No.
No, I didn't think so. He said it wasn't. He said it wouldn't be permanent. But you know, Picard, if he's feeling younger, he's like he dances to some mambo, which was great. Riker's already shaved, so that's not helping. the ladies feel their breasts becoming firmer and less saggy.
Yeah. Not that we care about such things.
No. Data does, apparently. Worf is his hair is growing super long.
He's got a gorges.
That's where that came from. That's right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's where that came from. He's got a pimple. Though I like to imagine that it's a Klingon VD. It's herpes. It's Klingon herpes.
He got it from Troy. He got it from Riker.
Yes.
Riker. He got it from an Andorian slave girl.
Yep.
Not an Orion slave girl. It was an Andorian playing a slave girl in a role-playing situation.
Gotcha. I gotcha. The bad guys, they're not that cool looking. They're kind of just wrinkly faced people. They're an alien race whose DNA is just sloughing off, so they have to keep getting facelifts.
Yeah, it's weird because I wonder what the point of that inclusion is, because it's like real plastic surgery where you have people who look fucking horrific. Like there's that St. Jude's commercial that plays on Hulu, and it's the daughter of the guy that started St. Jude's.
Yeah.
And she looks like someone took a picture of her into Photoshop and did the stretch shrink tool.
Oh, really?
A little bit too much. Yeah. And these people look like that too, but to the nth degree. Like at what point are they peeling all the skin off your face and laying it back down? And you're just like, yeah, I look good. And not, I look like someone dropped a wet towel over the arm of a sofa.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, that's true.
This is what my latex gimp suit looks like when I just kind of throw it over the curtain rod.
When I don't put it back on the
faces look like.
When I don't put it back on the mannequin.
It goes with, yeah.
Yep. If they had explored like the de-aging stuff a little further, maybe that got played up for comedy, like what, twice,
Man,
if Picard started sprouting a little hair, that'd be funny, you know?
He's like rubbing the top of his head. He's like, oh my God, I've got hair back.
God. Riker just being like, oh my God.
He just walks onto the bridge. He's got a huge boner. Everyone's like, Commander, do you have a boner right now?
I haven't had morning wood in 10 years.
he's probably riding there in the captain's seat and got, inconvenient boners like you used to get riding the bus.
Oh, from the vibrations. there's a band, Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
They've got a song about that.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel.
No, Garfunkel and Oates. Sorry. Garfunkel and Oates. That's what I meant.
Is this a real thing?
Yeah. Garfunkel and Oates.
Okay.
You'd recognize the two. You might recognize the two. It's a pair of comedian, lady comedians that do occasional musical comedy, and they've got a song called "Go Kart Racing Accidentally Masturbating." It's very good. Anyways, I wish they could have explored that. I don't know.
Did you like the B plot about Data needing to be like a kid, trying to become a kid's friend, like a weird pedophile?
Not really.
This is number three. Weren't we just talking about how he has weird relationships with kids?
Yep.
Because he had one with the in that one where the Frankenstein. And he had one with the where he saved the that
pen
girl.
Pal, the pen pal girl.
Yeah. And now he's got this third kid. It's like, Data, you're
He made a kid.
He made a kid. He can hang out with one.
Yeah.
He might have problems.
I wonder if that's going to keep going on and into Star Trek Picard. You know, we've got his whole setup going. That wasn't great. The little boy actor wasn't great either.
Yeah, fortunately, he wasn't in a lot of the movie.
Yeah, but like the first half, the whole mystery is really really well done.
Yeah, up until the point where they find out about the holoship.
I'm like, but even then you're like,
you're still interested.
Yeah. 'Cause you're like, what the fuck is going? Why would there be a cloaked ship in the lake on this?
Yeah, especially when transporters work from orbit. Almost like if they had said something like there, it's hard to do. They need to the line where they're like, oh yeah, we can't transport down to the surface. But they transport to the village, so they have to change those parts of the movie.
No, they explained it. It was the ketamine in the mountains or whatever.
Kelvinite in the mountains,
ketamine.
Yeah.
It was the ketamine in the mountains.
But the
lake was surrounded by mountains.
But that's why they can't transport them out later in the movie. But
yeah.
The reason why the hollow ship needs to be in the lake as opposed to being in space, if they're like, we can't transport directly down to the surface, we have to take a shuttlecraft. And be like, okay, then yeah, it makes sense that the hollow ship has to be on the surface in order to transport them out. But that's not a rule. So it's just like, why wouldn't you have this in orbit somewhere or on the other fucking side of the planet?
Yeah, that's also my gripe with the movie is that how small is this planet? Because these people are a small town.
Yeah.
It's 600 people.
Yeah.
And what were the bad guys? The
Ringling, Sona.
The Sona need the planet to heal themselves.
Yeah. Well, they say they can't just take it by natural exposure. They're too far gone. But yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't have landed their ship on the other side of the planet and just been
minded or whatever they needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the
radiation in the rings.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that's weird about that is that, so it's a village of like 600 people, but they've lived there for 300 years or something.
That's the other thing is, they don't die.
And like, are you guys not fucking?
I guess
all
not.
The time?
I mean, she didn't, I mean, she's 300 and hadn't been married.
Yeah.
Didn't have any kids.
So. That's because she was nailing all the young guys and they got old enough. She was like, hey, Golar, why don't you come visit my house?
It's a little weird. It'd be like, man, that guy's like 78. I bet he was really hot looking when he was younger. I'll just wait a couple years.
Come down here, Picard. Let me show you.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite of the other weird thing when there's a kid that's like 12 or 13, and some older man be like, oh, she's gonna be a real looker when she grows up.
Yeah. That is creepy.
Yeah.
There's not much you can say about this movie. It's also directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah, yeah. The visual effects, not quite as good, though they didn't need it. Well,
the stuff in space all looks fine. It's when they're doing the stuff on down the drones that doesn't look good.
Yeah, it was an ILM. So
the collector when it puts out its solar sails or whatever they are,
yeah,
that does not look good.
I like solar sails though.
Yeah,
solar sails are pretty cool.
Oh, you love Deep Space Nine?
Really?
They do an episode where Sisko builds a Bajoran sailing ship, and they.
How many seasons is DS9?
Seven. All the TNG era series are seven seasons.
Gotcha.
No cameos.
No cameos at all.
You were right though. Your prediction about like this race is in an area of space we can't go into because the Briar Patch that like you can't fly at warp speed. You have to have special ships.
Yeah.
To be able to go at full impulse.
But they didn't really explain why.
He says it. It's all the damn whatever gases, Metreon gases, and
yeah,
whatnot,
but
anomalies.
Yeah, yeah. I guess
it's a real. You got to watch like 17 times before you start catching that stuff.
Yeah. So then, no cameos.
We finally watched the captain's yacht, which is cool because it's like part of that lowest portion of the saucer section,
and then just drops
the nacelles fold out and it drops out and flies away.
Yep,
pretty cool.
I didn't really care for his vest. It was weird.
Whose vest?
Picard's jacket vest thing, the silver jacket vest.
Silver jacket. Oh, he's wearing like that leather jacket, and then it ends up being a sleeveless shirt underneath the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Future clothes always look goofy.
Yeah. I mean, I like the... We haven't seen much of it, really, but the modern future clothes, like the clothes we have now that you can buy on Amazon right now, that are like way over designed and they all come from China, right? They're all Chinese knockoffs, and there's fucking pockets and zippers everywhere.
Yeah.
There's lapels and asynchronous lines. I love that design stuff. I want to see that.
I don't like the asynchronous design stuff.
I do.
I like the no lapel jackets. Like, I have two different jackets that come up to a Nehru collar.
Uh-huh.
And I like them a lot. That red one is cool because it's kind of convertible. You can do the Nehru collar. You can fold that over and you have a more traditional looking lapel.
Ah.
I get compliments on it all the time. Everywhere I go, people are like, I really like that jacket. Thank you. Thank you. I purchased it with my money. I appreciate that. Some Chinese slave made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were saying about the last movie that you liked the sound mix with the...
Oh, they only use it once.
The comms.
It was real quick. It was with when... No, it wasn't the last movie. It was
First Contact.
It was Generations.
When Deanna radios him in the ready room, sir, they've engaged the Borg.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Worf didn't get any...
No.
In one-liners, but he did get to fire a purple space bazooka.
That is, he fired a phaser bazooka, because why not? We've got phaser pistols. We've got phaser rifles.
I mean, phaser bazooka.
Phaser bazooka, man. Yeah, it was real quick. I didn't hear it on this, but it was just like, I could hear the comms coming from the speakers in the room.
Yeah, as you opposed to hearing them just there.
Overlaid, yeah.
We get to see a couple... What did you think of the karaoke?
That was great. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Really?
Because it's so Star Trek. It's not like the plan was... Like, we're going to, me and Worf are going to get into the ship and maybe try and talk to Data. But it's clear that Data's not responding. He knows that it's Picard and Worf, still fires on him. He looks over at them and he just doesn't care. He's in that survival mode. Mm-hmm. And what does Picard do? He sings some Gilbert and Sullivan to Data, and Data's latent like memory thing kicks in, remembers it, and it distracts them long enough that they can clamp onto the ship.
Yeah,
it was great. It's a real Star Trek way
to distract a dude
to solve the problem, right? Plus that line was funny. It was like, Worf, do you know Gilbert and Sullivan? He's like, I haven't had time to study all the new members of the crew, sir. He's like, Picard no.
Looks just totally aghast.
Yeah.
They're like, composers.
No, they're composers.
From the mid 20th century.
I was thinking he was going to go into
modern major general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modern Major General cost too much to license.
Yep.
Like Ooby Dooby. Ooby Dooby Dooby Doo Wah Doo Wah Doo Wah. This one, every movie they make less and less of an effort to explain why Worf is on this ship.
Yes, that was great.
The last one, like, they make a whole thing with the Defiant, they beam aboard. Yeah. And this one, Worf's just standing there and they're like, oh, Worf, you're here.
Don't go back. Picard literally says, Worf, what the hell are you doing here?
And Worf was like, I'm just in the movie. It doesn't matter.
I want to know what they do for Nemesis now. Yeah. I did like the
shit. Well, the thing about Nemesis is, I'll tell you about what happened at the end of Deep Space Nine.
Well, I was say, well, but yeah, now I just recalled that Deep Space Nine would be over.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I did like the dress suits, the white dress suits in the beginning.
They're the dress uniforms.
Those are looking real snazzy.
I like those a lot better than the dress uniforms in TNG. The big
skirts,
the scants. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the extremely tight pants.
Yep. Same.
And the rank insignia way over on the shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the different, I guess they had like different, the midsections.
Yeah, it was.
Picard's was all white. Someone else's was blue.
Oh, they're gray. In the new ones, yeah. Picard's is all white and everyone else's is gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picard's is all white because he's a captain.
The aliens they were ambassadoring were weird.
The little weird pig monster
people. Pig fish monster people.
Yeah. Eugene Chuffle.
Emphasis on the Chuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I'll always remember about Star Trek.
Eugene Chuffle.
6 million other things.
It sucks that we had James Cromwell and Alfred Woodard in First Contact and no one in this. Like the.
You had F. Murray Abraham, but he's barely in it.
Yeah. There's no like the supporting cast. Other than the crew, you know, the lady was there, you know,
she's kind of a bland character though.
Bland character. Also, she can like do that slow time thing down.
Yeah.
That she teaches Picard to do later that saves her. Was real dumb looking. It was dumb looking the first time.
Yeah.
With the sand.
It was a lot less dumb looking.
It was a lot less dumb looking. And I thought it was a really cool visual, but it's a weird thing that didn't need to be in there. The only reason it was in there was like, how can we save her at the end? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they wanted her to be in danger and savable. Like, how do we save her? Well,
she can stop time magic.
Yeah.
Is she a traveler? Is that a power travelers have? That's a power Wesley Crusher had.
Yeah. We can stop time. Crusher? She didn't really stop time.
That was my theoretical conversation between writers, producers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a Star Trek movie.
It's totally okay.
Yeah.
I think the reveals don't live up to the mystery because the whole time you're like, who are like these aliens? Like, first of all, they don't look alien. There's no sort of makeup appliance. The only thing that's alien about them is
their manners,
their way of life.
Yeah.
And we find out why, of course.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the way they kill that admiral? It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
Throws him in his face through that window and then stretches his face out until it's all broken apart.
It's weird. And then of course there's a line in the beginning that I think Troy and Riker are like, yeah, hey, it looks like the bad guys were actually they're like a combination of two different races. It's crazy. Yeah. And then who would have thought that this other race was one of those races?
Well, they were the original race.
Yes. And then the Sona were like slave laborers or whatever?
No, the Sona and the Baku are the same race. They were young people that revolted and then they got sent into exile.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Because the Sona wanted to use technology.
Yeah. And again, it's like, you guys are sent out of exile, but you didn't have to go out into space. You could have just gone to like another continent.
It's a planet.
It's a planet.
Yeah.
You guys could have all the fucking and the technology you want over there.
Even if the planet is if the planet was as big as the United States, which is a tiny, tiny planet, that's a lot of room.
Yeah. You could easily build your cities.
If the planet was the size of Oklahoma, that's a lot of room.
Considering that one settlement, 600 people.
Yeah. And they don't use technology, so where are they going to go?
Yeah.
It would take them weeks and months to find you by walking. Yeah. So, it's fair. I did like it better than Generations.
I'm surprised about that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't like it better than Generations.
Really?
Yeah.
You put them on the same tier, or would you put Generations above
it? No, I put Generations above it.
Really?
Yeah, because Generations has a little bit more excitement, the little bit better payoffs. It's got the crossover, which adds points to it. And it's got the destruction of the Enterprise D, which adds points to it. Like,
yeah.
In this one, again, it feels like two B plots. With the Riker thing is not fully developed of him going out into space to try and signal the Federation Council, because that should take him days, and it only takes him like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we
also do the Troy Riker thing.
But not enough. Like
we set it up for the next movie.
They send her, but in the next movie they get married right at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're setting this up for the next movie.
If you had left her on the Enterprise though, they could have like had a romance thing happen.
Yeah.
Instead they bring her down to the planet where she does nothing except talk about her breasts.
Yep.
Leave it to Deanna Troi to make everything about her breasts. You notice I got a biggie titty? I got a biggie titty.
My older titty, I feel like a younger titty. The nipple, they don't point down. They point
out
straight. They point straight forward.
You want to see Deanna Troi's nipples?
Sure.
All right, let's watch Death Wish 3.
Yeah. Oh, is 3 the one they covered in Best of the Worst? Because they did either 3 or 4 on Best of the Worst.
Probably 4. Oh, no, 3. It might have been 3.
Yeah.
3, it's whatever one where he like blows up the whole neighborhood.
You want to hear Marina Sirtis is a evil blue alien?
No.
Then we won't play Mass Effect.
I think she was in several canon films topless because you had to be in canon films.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched that documentary Electric Boogaloo.
Uh-huh.
And, there was some other one where she was like a medieval movie or something. Yeah. And she didn't have a top on, but I was watching, I saw Death Wish 3 and I was like, holy crap, that's Marina Sirtis.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then she gets raped in it and it's like, they tear off all her clothes. And I was like, huh.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for us here on Before and After Star Trek Insurrection. Hope you guys stick around and catch us on our next Before and After. We'll be doing Star Trek Nemesis. The last of the Star Trek movies. They never made any more Star Trek movies.
Never made any more. That was it. They never made any more Star Trek at all after that. Well, no, I guess they did. That was 2002. So they made 2 more seasons of Enterprise and then never made anything else with the Star Trek branding ever again. I've been shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Yeah.
There's also, actually, I want to say one more thing and that speaks to why Picard sucks. And it's at the end of...
Why Star Trek Picard sucks.
Yeah. In the end of this movie, he's talking to old titty lady.
Yes.
And... She's like, why don't you stay here? And he goes, I would love to, but yep. I have to go defend what I've spent my life creating, what others would tear down that I've spent my life defending.
Yes.
I was just like, and this man just quit Starfleet because they won't do the thing he wants to do.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, did you?
Of course he's not in Starfleet anymore.
Yes.
Or in Star Trek Picard.
Of course.
But make it that he was forced out of Starfleet. Make it that
that the brass didn't like it. I mean, he was still a captain. The brass didn't like his was tired of his bullshit. So they're like, "Look, Jean-Luc, you can retire, or we'll destroy you."
Yeah, make it so that like when the news lady goes and interviews him, it's like, disgraced disgraced Admiral Picard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Disgraced former Admiral Jean-Luc Picard.
There were a lot of allegations that were about you in this court-martial. Yeah. They brought up your loss of two starships and this and that.
And all these times you just obeyed direct orders. Yeah.
To the point where you couldn't get out of it. How did that make you feel? Well, Rachel Maddow of the future. Well, black mage Rachel Maddow. It made me feel pretty bad.
Yeah.
So now we'll see you next time. Now that I've said my little rant.